I'm going through one of those times this morning where I have an opportunity to share something that's going on literally right now. It doesn't very often work out this way because as I'm going through things in life, it's not always necessarily convenient to talk about this when things are really, really fresh and it's really in the moment, happening right now. So I'm always very enthused and excited when I have an opportunity, although in a lot of cases, what I talk about is, you know, relating to something that doesn't necessarily always feel great. But at the same time, I think it provides a tremendous learning experience for me. I think sometimes being able to hear these things as I'm speaking them, and in the hopes as well that it helps others in some way. This morning is one of those times where I have some news to share with a client of mine. And in my mind, it is very, very positive, and I think that it's something that could be very beneficial for them in terms of a different direction with the work that we're doing and an opportunity that I have found for them, and that is what they want me to do ultimately. But in this case, this is one of those situations where I'm not 100% sure that they are going to see this as good news in the way that I do. And this goes way beyond worrying or having any fear about my feelings being hurt or them not valuing what I have to say or valuing my advice. This goes way, way beyond that. While those are things to definitely consider, and I will circle back to that in a little bit, this is more really about focusing on, from a mindfulness standpoint and a mindful coping standpoint, it is dealing with that anxiety, that uncertainty, that kind of what I refer to as that feeling of yuckiness that we can have when we know we're going to need to share something with someone. And especially if it's something that we believe in and feel like this is something that, you know, we think needs to happen or should happen or is our recommendation for what should happen, or if it's just something that we feel really strongly about. But there's always that possibility that the person that we're going to share this with, if it's news that we're sharing, they may see it as bad news, despite our best efforts to try to paint it in a positive light. And that's really what I am dealing with this morning. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I guess, you know, from my own standpoint, yes, it's nice that I feel like this is good news. It's, you know, it's lovely that I can feel like this is something really positive, but I have to remember that I don't live in a vacuum. At the end of the day, if I am responsible towards someone for something that they're expecting me to do, and this could be any kind of relationship, it doesn't have to even be just business, I can say with absolute certainty that there have been times in my life where there is news that I've needed to share with loved ones, with friends, with acquaintances, where the news is not good from their standpoint, from their perspective, and I know that it's not going to be perceived as good news, and yet I am faced with the task of delivering whatever news that it is. So really what I'm talking about today, this is more really about dealing with not so much the possible outcomes that could occur. I will speak a little bit about just, you know, dealing with whatever the reaction is, but this is really the focus here is completely right now, at least on my standpoint. I'm on my way to meet with someone, and I'm going to be sharing this, you know, this news with them, this idea with them, and I have no idea. And I don't want to be overly dramatic at all. But I will say this much in terms of, and really the details aren't important, but this is something that I feel strongly enough about in terms of a business strategy. And this could be something personal. It doesn't really matter that it's business. It's really inconsequential. But this is one of those times where I am literally going out on a limb. I'm sticking my neck out, so to speak. And this news and this idea and what I have done so far to move this forward could be received very negatively. It could be. I can't say whether or not it will be or not, but it could be. And at the very, you know, in the worst possible outcome, and I can't say that it could not happen, could be that this person that I'm going to be delivering this news to could react so negatively to this that I could literally be faced with losing a client engagement. But I believe strongly enough in what needs to be done, and I have got the wheels are turning, so to speak, and this is what clients want me to do. But at the same time, sometimes, you know, we have to stick our necks out a little bit and take a chance. I'm not advocating that people do this. I'm not saying that this is necessary or needs to be done. But in this case, I feel strongly enough about it. And I've been, you know, in this situation numerous times over, you know, the last, over two decades of working this way with people. So I could be, you know, I literally could be facing, you know, a situation where that engagement ends. But I feel compelled to do it anyway. Yes, there is fear. Yes, there is a tremendous amount of trepidation. But at the same time, though, I have to decide, am I going to be ruled by my fear? Or am I going to speak up and do what I believe clients want me to do? Am I going to stand up and take the actions that I really believe are necessary for them to be successful? This isn't just about me being successful. This is really about them. And all that really goes out the window when you're sitting across the table from an angry client who is screaming at you, feeling upset about the fact that, you know, that I have decided to move in a certain direction on their behalf. So that's really where this is at. So when I kind of slow things down and really get into, you know, really taking a deeper look at why I'm feeling the way that I am and how I'm processing it, my hope is that this is helpful to someone or to more than just someone. So I'm basically sitting, and I have been sitting with this for about, you know, 3 or 4 days now, and I knew that this conversation was going to happen. And I have been kind of riding various waves of anxiety. I don't necessarily suffer from chronic anxiety, but this is more situational. And, you know, emotionally, there have been some ups and downs, but what has happened is that I've been aware most of the time that I'm feeling these, you know, these particular emotions. And I, at various times, have caught my, and there again, I want to back up and say, it's completely normal as human beings to feel trepidation, to feel anxiety, when we know that we're going to be having a conversation that may be painful, very well could be painful, something that someone, you know, sharing news with them that they may consider to be bad news or that they may not like. It's very normal and human to feel some sense of foreboding, to be uneasy about it. And I'm really saying that because I want anyone who listens to this to understand that it doesn't mean that we're weak. It doesn't mean anything is wrong with us. That we're, you know, that we, even if we fully believe in what we're going to share with someone and we agree with what it is that we're telling them, or we feel like the news, if they perceive it to be bad, that this is justified and this is the situation, whether I like it or not, and whether they like it or not, it's normal to feel some sense of apprehension. And really, in terms of mindfulness, the focus here is, what do I do with this? When I'm sitting with these feelings, and at the same time, I have to cope. I still have to take care of my responsibilities. I've had to do that for the last 3 or 4 days. I've still had other commitments. I've had other engagements. And I've just got my own life to live. You know, I have to live in my own skin, so to speak. I still have to, you know, get up every day. I have to put my head on the pillow at night. You know, even during times when I'm not necessarily discharging any responsibilities to anyone, I still have to, you know, be, you know, in my own body. I have to live out my karma, so to speak. And sometimes, you know, existentially speaking, that can be difficult when we are weighed down with concerns like this and fears. And sure, there were times when I felt like I just wanted to run from the situation. There were times when I was thinking that way, and my self-talk was that way. And so over the last 3 or 4 days, there have been, you know, the interesting part about this is, and this is when we talk about the benefits of mindfulness practice, you know, the practice itself will not minimize or eliminate these episodes where I find myself completely, you know, gripped with fear. and apprehensive and having feeling trepidation and be feeling very uncertain about my own situation and feeling vulnerable. I mean, this is a situation where I could find myself, you know, at the very worst, losing a client. I don't want to dwell on that. I don't want to get fixated on that, because all that will lead to is just me being paralyzed by fear. If that's all I can see, and I'm thinking about that and visualizing that over and over and over again, I'm just hurting myself, because I'm you know, chemically speaking, biochemically speaking, I'm feeling all of those feelings and creating those scenarios, and the effects on me or anyone who does this to themselves are not good. And I'm not saying good from the standpoint of good versus bad. It's just that this isn't healthy. So I need to remember that. So when I'm feeling, when I would catch myself in the act periodically, I would maybe would be in the middle of work, or I would be driving somewhere, or even having a conversation with someone, you know, about something completely unrelated. All of a sudden, that awareness kicks in. All of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I'm starting to think about this conversation I'm going to have Friday. And as it's gotten closer, there has been the tendency for me to, it kind of pops into my awareness more frequently. Even to the point that I woke up in the middle of the night. And when I did that, it was, you know, 3:00 this morning. And I tend to do this. I will wake up when I know that there's something I'm going to deal with the next day that may be uncomfortable in some way. Then all of a sudden I could literally, and because there again, because I practiced it, It's nothing extraordinary. It doesn't mean I'm, you know, an extraordinary human being. It just means I'm someone who has practiced being aware of what my mind is doing. And what's strange is that I don't know, you know, it's kind of one of those situations, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. In other words, what comes first, the emotion or the feeling and then the thoughts? Or maybe it's both. Maybe sometimes the thoughts occur first, and that fuels the emotions, and then it just becomes like an endless feedback loop. And I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't probably really matter which way it happens. Either way, if I continue to give energy to that feedback loop and letting that continue, I'm locked into a cycle of something that's self-defeating, whether it's fear, whether it's anxiety, whether it's, you know, beating myself up emotionally or judging myself or reliving past events, whatever it is, I'm locked in a loop or a cycle of a self-defeating pattern. The way that I'm thinking about how I'm feeling is fueling, probably in most cases, more negative emotions. It's causing me to feel worse about myself and about the situation, and I'm locked in it. I'm stuck in it. If I'm not aware that I'm doing this to myself, I'm going to continue to do it. I don't want to say indefinitely, but I think that the more a person has practiced mindfulness and is really committed to maintaining some sort of sustainable practice, I think the likelihood is that the time that they spend locked in a loop like this becomes less and less over time, because we're practicing being aware, even when we are mindlessly engaging in habits that are associated with fear and with negative thought patterns that feed and are fed by negative emotions. We're more likely to be susceptible to that the less that we practice this. In other words, you can really look at that, you know, basically either way. So I wake up at 3 this morning and I become aware very quickly that there's this, and it's almost like I could see that it was habitual. It was almost like I realized that this is, hey, and I literally remember saying that to myself, sort of. And I mean, I don't want to say it exactly, but it's like, you know, and I didn't say it out loud, but it's just in my mind. It's like, yeah, that's me. This is what I do, you know. I wake up at 3:00 in the morning, and I start really overthinking. And what's interesting is that I kind of just laid back and just paid attention to what it felt like to be overthinking something. And it was really kind of groovy and interesting, because I could see the ridiculousness of this, and yet I was able, and there again, just being able to do that can change your consciousness. Just being able to laugh at our own silliness and the futility of trying to think, quote unquote, think our way out of something, it's laughable. I mean, it really is. And I know it's, you know, I've said that to people before who've looked at me with a really strange look, because when, you know, and I know that, and that's why I'm generally very careful. I would not ever say that to anyone in a chiding way or in a judgmental way, because I've been there many times. And when you're in the middle of that storm, so to speak, that's going on in your mind, when you are really locked in to a habitual pattern of self-reinforcing negative thoughts and they're feeding negative emotions, the last thing I want to hear is someone just kind of, you know, not, you know, laughing, but just very, being very light about it, lighthearted, and saying, yeah, this is just you, you know, doing this to yourself. You know, it is kind of silly, isn't it? I mean, I would probably, there would be times where I would be offended by that. So I don't go around necessarily, you know, dealing with people in that way. I don't, you know, walk up to someone who I see really struggling, you know, with this and just lightheartedly say, hey, that's just you doing this to you. It's not about that. It's really about me realizing that for myself. And there again, it's not my place to do that for anyone else. That, you know, that's where I guess that when it comes down to the work that we do on ourselves. And I know that I want to take responsibility for that. So it was really beautiful in the middle of the night because I had one of those opportunities, kind of those teachable moments where I realized, okay, you know, I'm sitting here just, you know, I'm analyzing every outcome, possible outcome. I am imagining what my client is going to say to me. I'm imagining what the facial gestures will look like. I'm imagining myself, how I'm going to respond. I'm imagining and I'm visualizing myself sometimes when I replay that movie in my head. And it sounds so ridiculous now that I'm saying this out loud. It's like I'm rerunning the film, or the tape, over and over again. And I'm dating myself by using the word film and tape, but I realize we don't do much of that anymore. But essentially, I'm playing the video over and over again. And every time I'm doing it, I am sort of seeing it in a little bit of a different way and envisioning myself in a different way. And it's all really just a waste of time and energy. Because I've already made up my mind that I'm going to have this conversation. So really, I'm sitting here asking myself, and I found myself asking myself this question. And I'm sharing it because I think it could possibly be helpful. I don't know, but it's possible. And that is, how do I really think this is going to help me in the moment, tomorrow or later today in this case, by doing this? How is this visualization exercise, me running through this scenario over and over and over again, how is this really going to help the outcome? There's nothing I'm really practicing to do. I realize there are situations where people want to or need to practice what they're going to say to someone. That wasn't what this was about at all. This was my mind just, literally without, you know, being conscious at all, just running, you know, this scenario over and over and over again. I honestly don't even know why I was doing it. And I think being honest with myself and being honest speaking this into this microphone, that I really have no idea what I really thought I was going to get out of that. And that's really where the questioning can come in. In other words, I need to be aware first that I'm engaging in a certain behavior. And then I need to also be able to question. And I realize when I'm in the middle of life, while it's happening, may not be the best time for me to do these things. So at the very least, I find it's what I refer to as mindfulness, being mindful on our feet, or mindful in the midst of the storms of life. If I can at least be aware that I am reacting in some way to something that's happening to me, or something that's said to me, or something that's done to me, or a situation that I find myself in, or even a way that I feel about myself in a particular situation, at the very least, that in of itself can change everything. It really, really can. Just the way that I'm experiencing being myself when these thoughts start happening, if I can just be aware that I'm having these thoughts and I'm having these reactions and that I don't have to take it seriously, I don't have to believe everything that I'm thinking about what I'm feeling, it really can change the paradigm in terms of what my life experiences are. And so to kind of pull all this together, what I'm basically saying here, I guess if I was going to summarize all this, would be that when we know that we're going to be having possibly a tough conversation or delivering news that could be construed as bad, and in some cases the news is bad and we know it's bad, this isn't about perception, there are those times as well, this really applies to all of these situations. And that there, you know, the fact is that, you know, there, I don't know what will happen, and it's okay that I don't know what will happen. All I really need to do is trust that I can sit with whatever happens, that I can believe and be, you know, allow myself to be empowered enough to trust and have some faith in the fact that what is best, you know, what will happen, whether I like it or not. And if I can just learn how to what I refer to as just to groove with it and just let it be what it is. If I can't control everything, I can't control everything. So if I can just realize all I can do is my best. And if I, you know, occasionally if I remind myself of this, I find that sometimes that's all it really takes is just remembering these things. And I feel like I'm much, you know, there again, and I'm not saying this is the only way to do this or to prepare oneself, but anything that, you know, and I realize that's up to each person and they can figure out what works best for them, whatever that practice might be, whatever it is that they do to help themselves to realize that, you know, no matter what, it's going to be okay. Even if it's not okay immediately, it will be okay eventually. That giving oneself the opportunity to kind of, you know, strengthen oneself and prepare oneself, not for all a bunch of different scenarios, not for a bunch of different contingencies, but there, and there again, there's a time and place for that. There are times when clearly we have to think logically and logistically, and we have to think rationally about preparing ourselves for outcomes. But in this case, we're talking about something that isn't really an emergency or even a possible emergency. It's really about choosing, you know, what am I better off doing? Am I better off focusing my attention and energy and effort on just being aware of what my mind is doing because I can't control it? The best thing I can do for myself is just to pay attention to it and then to begin to question whatever thoughts I'm having or whatever assumptions I'm making about what might happen. And I don't really necessarily, unless it is an emergency, I don't really have to figure out what I'm going to do. I mean, that's a whole different subject. I don't have to get all wrapped up in, you know, what I'm going to do when, you know, when the worst possibly happens. Because if I have faith and I believe in my ability to be able to cope with whatever it is, and to seek that, you know, to seek that from a higher power, or however each individual does that, I don't have to figure all that out right now. I can just trust in my ability and however I do that as an individual. And there again, if things go really badly, the best thing I can do, at least in my opinion, for myself, I can't say what's best for everyone, is to pay attention. If someone is screaming at me or yelling at me or angry at me, the worst thing that I can do for myself is to interpret that in a certain way that makes me feel worse about myself. Worst thing that I can do is try to think about what's happening while it's happening, because then I'm really busy thinking about what's happening and not paying attention to what's really happening. And if I can just go into this situation and remember that and take care of myself as I'm, you know, en route to the place where I'm going to go deliver this news in the hopes that it will be received well, but also being open to the fact that it may not be received well and that I will be okay. And in this case, yes, I mean, the worst possible outcome is I walk away and no longer have a client that I'm working for in this particular situation. But it doesn't mean that my life will be over. I did and took the action and said what I needed to say that was reflecting my beliefs of what I think needs to be done. And it either will happen or it won't. And all I really need to do right now is just be aware and really pay attention to what I'm thinking about what I'm feeling. I know that's how I'm best served. All of the fear and anxiety and the panic, yes, it may come up without me necessarily bringing it into being, but it will also dissipate, it will also pass if I just don't cling to it and cling to a need to perpetuate it by analyzing it and picking it apart and trying to figure out exactly what it means and why it's happening. All I really have to do is just evolve and adapt. All I have to do is just pay attention. I had a teacher of mine recently refer to this as literally, you know, being jazz. That's literally what he said. I love that. And he said it's a matter of just, you know, being open to improvisation. And that's really what I'm talking about here. You know, the mindfulness practice and mindful coping practices enable us and empower us to be able to be jazz. I mean, we can, and this is whether you like jazz music or not, but it's the whole improvised nature of it, and we can live that way And so that's really a beautiful passage that I heard from him earlier this week. And it reminded me that I can do that. I can evolve. I can believe in my ability to adapt and respond to whatever the situation is, as authentically and as genuinely as I can. And it may or may not go well. But then again, in life, whatever, you know, does anything always go well? Very seldom. So I just need to remember that and take care of myself through the process. And my belief is, the last thing I would say, is that mindfulness practice and mindful coping practices have enabled me to be able to be here more and to be able to live life even when it's scary, even when it's uncertain, even when it's tenuous, even when I'm sticking my neck out and potentially putting myself in a situation where I'm, you know, potentially, at the very worst, endangering my life, part of my livelihood. But I'm acting in concert with what my beliefs are and what I think is best for this person that I'm working for. And at the end of the day, that has to be enough, because what else is there really? So I have to be willing to live with that uncertainty of what may happen. And these practices help me to more effectively and more joyously and more genuinely and more spontaneously do that. That's really, for me, that's where it's at.